Now, once upon a time in professional wrestling, it used to matter what the fans thought.
For example, all you parents out there with kids, when your kids misbehave, you give the New Day a call. Yep. The New Day comes over to your house, and we will fight your children!
Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of wrestling sucks. But when it's good, it's fucking great. Wrestling is melodrama. Wrestling is mythology. Wrestling is action. Wrestling is comic books. The only thing wrestling isn't is wrestling.
Who wants to take back professional wrestling?
Welcome, everyone, to episode 175 of your favorite podcast, Around the Ring. I am your host, your Floyd and Savior, Floyd Johnson. With me today is the oldest young man in wrestling history and my consistent co-host, Ryan Aaron. What's up, Ryan?
Not much. Just had a busy day. I spent, I was off work today, got up my normal time, 4:30 in the morning, and spent, about 8-9 hours at a wrestling tournament in Kingfisher.
That sounds really, really, really boring.
It was a blast. It didn't go the way I wanted for my son and the way we wanted it to, but we had a good time, and he's getting better every time he gets out on the mat, so that's all that matters to me right now with it. He's only been doing it about a month and a half, so.
You got to think about that. Most of these people have been in, like, peewee wrestling, right. You know, wrestling for a lot of years, and the fact that he's able to compete with them and he's only been doing it about a month and a half is impressive.
Yeah, the second kid, or the first kid, he'd been doing it about 3.5-4 years, and Jesse pretty much whipped him all over the mat as far as he lost by 2 points, but and the 2 points he lost by was because he had did an illegal lock. He when he had the guy down, he grabbed his own wrist with his other hand, and that's something you can't do, so he did that twice, and it got the other guy 2 points, and that was the deciding 2 points, but pretty much Jesse had his way with the kid for the most part. And then the second kid, that guy had been wrestling about 5 years, I think the coach said. So it happens.
Yeah, you know what? And it happens, but with practice, training, you know, maybe he goes to some wrestling camps, you know, to catch up to where everyone else is as far as experience, you know, that'll be great for him. So, you know, but it's proud that he's sticking with it and he's trying something new. Having an amateur wrestling background is something I wish I would have had.
Yeah, I did it in middle school. I loved it. He's doing it now, and it's like he plays baseball and basketball too. And I've told him, if you can get through wrestling season, it's going to get you in better shape, and it's going to, if you get through it, it's going to make you mentally tougher than most of the other kids in the other sports you play, because wrestling is so, it is, there's team points and stuff, but it is truly a one-on-one competition.
Yeah.
And you have to be mentally strong.
And, you know, learn a lot about leverage. That's why a lot of good offensive linemen have wrestling backgrounds, because you learn about leverage and manipulating a guy's weight. I definitely love the amateur graps. So, and so much of our, you know, so many of our great wrestlers, Kurt Angle, Jason Jordan, Chad Gable, Brock Lesnar, were great amateur wrestlers, you know, including Shelton Benjamin. And then you think about people like Cody Rhodes, who was a high school wrestling champion and just chose, instead of going into college and wrestling, he chose to actually just go straight and start trying to make it to the WWE. So, there, you know, most wrestlers have some sort of amateur background. So, it definitely helps with the list and the chain wrestling part of it. So, we had some big news, kind of big news drop today. Looks like people are pissed off at the WWE again, as always. Are you there, Ryan?
I am here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, people are pissed off at the WWE, as always, because it was announced that, first of all, Walter, the German wrestler, and he, I think he's from Austria, he's a part of a group called Ringkampf. He signed with the WWE this week, and apparently he's only going to be on like NXT UK. He's probably not going to try to go to the main roster. Those are the rumors I'm hearing. But that being said, what I really wanted to get into was Evolve, who now has a working agreement with the WWE, like a major working agreement with the WWE, the Street Profits are their tag team champions. This weekend at the Evolve show, the Street Profits were supposed to wrestle against LAX. LAX is the current Impact champions. Well, when this was originally decided, or LAX was booked, of course, Impact allowed LAX to work for Evolve. But when it was booked, the WWE talent wasn't the champions at that point. So they said, okay, well, LAX can come work for you, but they can't be pinned by the WWE talent. So so the company said, you know what? Understand that. That's acceptable. We're going to change the match to a triple threat match, and I think one to a six-man match, so we can get around the politics of it. Well, it looks like Impact just decided, you know what? We don't want the WWE talent looking amazing against our talent. So they just pulled LAX from the event. So let's start with that. What do you think about that?
Well, I'd like to say I'm surprised, but I'm not. Real quick, I just want to make a small correction. It wasn't this weekend shows. It was going to be for December 15th and December 16th.
All right. Thank you for that correction. I read it, and I just guess I misremembered.
Yeah, no problem. Basically, I'm not surprised because you got two big-time companies. I didn't think they were going to play nice together. I saw when it was announced. I saw everybody talking about it on Twitter. And I thought it was really cool, and I would have liked to have seen it kind of happen. But basically, I'm going to read the statement real quick that Evolve put out, and it's a pretty strong statement.
Yeah.
Okay. Evolve officials were contacted by LAX and informed that they were needed for something else that weekend. No other explanation was given. Impact Wrestling didn't contact Evolve officials and left it up to LAX. There is no heat on LAX as WWN understands the situation they were put in. Evolve officials had told LAX that the plan was to have matches with the Evolve Tag Team Champions, the Street Profits of Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins that weekend. Evolve was informed that LAX would not be able to lose in those matches. In order to avoid any political issues, Evolve made one night a triple threat match and the other night a six-man tag. This would give the fans the LAX for Street Profit matches they wanted while protecting all parties politically. Unfortunately, Impact Wrestling waited until the matches were announced and then pulled the talent the next day. This all could have easily been avoided by not allowing LAX to take the dates in the first place. Evolve will no longer consider booking Impact Wrestling contracted talent moving forward. Evolve officials are currently working on a replacement and will have news early next week. We apologize for the lineup change, but assure you Evolve will produce something special on Evolve 117 in Queens and Evolve 118 in Deer Park, New York. Thank you for your support. So, basically what this boils down to me, reading this is Impact for some reason Impact just said no, they're not coming. We're going to put them somewhere else after they allowed them to take the dates in the first place.
So, and of course, Evolve has every right to be pissed, but I think the action on Impact's part was from a ruling made by WWE. So we got an update on the NXT UK contracts, and basically everybody on the NXT UK contracts are getting more money, whatever the number is, I don't know, but they can still work all the WWE events, but they only can work with companies that have a relationship with WWE. But it seems like it's all, like a lot of the big names, Progress, OTT, ICW, a lot of those. The big names that aren't on there are the Defiance Pro Wrestling, or Defiance, and Defiance World of Sport and Rev Pro. But everyone else seems to be, you know, everybody, all the other big Europe companies, they could still work for. Like Jordan Devlin, he's a ITT guy. He can still work at his home promotion. Walter can still work at his home promotion. The Progress guy's still there. But the thing is, which is, this is through the end of the year, they have added a stipulation that, two stipulations. One, that they can't be, their matches can't be recorded on television. That's one. Two, they can't wrestle against any, basically any wrestlers contracted to any other major company, as far as ROH, Impact Wrestling, and like New Japan. They can't wrestle against anybody contracted to any of the major companies.
Huh. I did not know that.
So I was listening to Voices of Wrestling and I found out this information. I was listening to the flagship earlier and I found out this information. So I imagine, even though Evolve has positioned it as Impact's, or Impact Wrestling is the douches, I think Impact was responding to WWE. You don't want your guys working against our guys. Well, screw you. We don't want our guys working against your guys.
I mean, yeah, I can see that now that, I mean, I wasn't aware of the, I'd seen a lot of talk out there about the UK contracts. I just never went and looked any of it up because I've been busy, but that I can understand that. It sounds like, and I've heard rumblings that WWE is interested in LAX. So pair that with the UK stuff. I can, Impact doesn't want WWE people getting to see LAX in person. But from the sounds of it, Santana, part of LAX, he said, apparently he tweeted this out or said it, it would have definitely been cool, especially for the fans, but wrestling has proven to us once again that there's still too much work that needs to be done in order for all of us to truly enjoy the endless possibilities. So, yeah, it just, it's more business, more politics, and it's going to be this way probably forever.
Wrestlers remind you all the time, whenever they want to charge a little too much or whatever, something is sold out or whatever, they can't make a show or something, they like to remind you it's a business. That is a common thing, especially like people like Bubba Ray Dudley. They like to say it's about making money. It's not about talent. It's not about making memories. It's not about making matches. It's about making money. So in this idea, I mean, that's even more of a thing. They want to protect their property. The wrestlers, they want to protect, they don't want LAX to lose or get pinned by the Street Profits or to look weak against the Street Profits and then have a match with the Lucha Brothers at the next pay-per-view. And it'd be like, if they beat the Lucha Brothers, everyone's going to be like, well, why is this shitty team? Street Profits is better than everyone. Because what I've realized, I try to think like everyone is, I try to get away from the fact that everyone's alike, me and you. And, you know, but a lot of people, they do think the simple. Hey, this guy beat this guy, so he's better than him. Other than the fact that, you know, we're like, okay, the guy got booked to win. So, but yeah, we can still think this guy's better, you know. So,
right,
it's a lot of people just scrolling through. Well, the Street Profits beat LAX. They're not that good. You know, because the Street Profits are pretty much a shitty team in the WWE that loses all the time, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. So it's transference, because like the moment the Street Profits come in on the first night, pretty much, and win the Evolve Tag Team Champions, that tells you every team in Evolve is shitty, because Street Profits are pretty much a shitty tag team in the WWE or NXT, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is. It's transference. This team beat this team, so this team beat this team, and that team beat that team, so the first team is better than the third team. It's not, it's, there's no logic to that. There's no actual true logic to that. But that's how people think.
So, right, yeah. That's been a topic of conversation in college football the last couple of weeks in comparing OU and LSU. Well, OU lost to Texas, but OU barely beat Army, but there's been these big circles of getting it back to where the other team is better than the other. So it's something in every sporting event that's going to happen.
Yeah, it's something that happens. So it's just like, I understand the business side of it in wrestling. You know, of course, we just want great matches, but it's not that simple. We're, you know, it's not what's that simple when you're trying to protect your product. Impact has been very kind to the WWE as far as not fighting the broken gimmick anymore, not letting people keep their names and intellectual property, and, you know, letting WWE use stuff that's only available on the global network to, you know, get over to AJ and a lot of other people. And they've been very gracious, and the WWE doesn't seem to be returning that. Even though Impact is in no way any competition for WWE.
Right.
They're not, WWE's not threatened by Impact. No one's only buying tickets to Impact and skipping WWE. It's just, you know, if they weren't buying tickets to WWE, they weren't buying them before. They just got tired of WWE. So, I don't know. I would like to see the people work together. And WWE, it's like, they're the big dog of this. So, how wrestling companies relate to each other is started by WWE. So, if there's ever going to be any peace and, you know, allowing people to work with each other, it has to start with the WWE. Because I found out something this week. So, our buddy, Jerry Bostic, he is the booker for World Class Revolution. They have a show, January 20th. It is with Oklahoma City Blue, right?
Yes.
So they're gonna have a basketball game. And then they're going to have a wrestling show after. This is a big news for Jerry. This is a big show for him. This is a big thing, right? Yeah. Well, so Jerry checked his schedule, checked with Chesapeake and everything. Checked WWE, made sure WWE wasn't running a show in that time, right? So this is done. This has been months in the planning. He finally announced it. Well, not a few days later, I didn't correlate this, WWE announces that they're running a Raw in Oklahoma City on January 21st, the day after Jerry's show.
What? Yeah, that's...
What? So he called Chesapeake, he checked with them, there was no show. They literally, you know, you want to say, oh, they're not thinking about Independent Wrestling Revolution or World Class Revolution, but... This is the third time it's happened. It's a third time that they weren't running a show in an area. Then World Class Revolution had ran a show, and then all of a sudden the WWE was running a show.
Yeah, that's pretty shitty. Cause, I mean, they did it with Oklahomania. They've done it with all of those shows, I think. Yeah. Now this one, because they tried to stop Oklahomania at one point. He said on a podcast he did. So, yeah, they know what's going on. Vince may not know what's going on, but there's people that are paid handsomely to keep an eye on what's going on in the States and for the indie shows and areas they can do that would get names and get publicity to see what they can do and to go in and one-up it.
Yes. So, let's just say, and I just want to be clear, WWE house show, that's probably the attendance that happens at a World Class Revolution show. You know what I mean? It's a decent size attendance, but they're not taking money from the WWE. Just put it that way.
No, they're not.
So sometimes it seems like some things are just petty. And it's like I said, I might be wrong. The WWE might not have knew anything about it. This might be the biggest set of coincidences ever. But I think before they decide to run the show, I'm just saying, if I'm a company, I'm going to see what's running that weekend. I'm going to see what's going on in Oklahoma and Tulsa and, you know, and then I'm going to decide whether to run my show or not, because you want the maximum amount of people there.
Right.
But yeah, so they're running a Raw too. It's not just, we didn't just get a house show. We got a Raw. They're like, boom, we're going to bring a big dog out. And of course, the Raw is going to sell, but I don't think people going to that Raw show are going to not go to the independent wrestling show the next day. I mean, tickets are fairly cheap, you know, to go to the Blue, and you'll get a Blue game and you'll get wrestling. Me,
yeah, you can do that for $15.
Yeah, I'll definitely be there. I even told my friends that wanted to go to Raw that I wasn't even buying my Raw ticket to January because I'm not trying to spend that money before Christmas. So I'll decide January like 15th whether I'm going to the Raw show. Because guess what? It's not gonna do. It's not gonna sell out. It's right. Just not. And I've been to Raws. I've been in the 30s. When it talks about how many Raws I've been to. So, let's say I missed that Raw. It wouldn't affect my life.
Yeah, watch it on TV.
Yeah, we're planning on going to the Elimination Chamber. So, if you're saying, hey, Floyd, do you want to go to a random Raw? Or do you want to go to Elimination Chamber, something you've never been to? That's not even a thought for me.
Right.
Yeah, so... But to other people, it might be. So that's going to be a good wrestling weekend. So I'm going to tell you, I want everyone to go to Raw. Why? Because the more we sell out and the more attendance we get at Raws, the better shows we get. We could, you know, if we get up into that A market, if we can get a good attendance and get up into what we consider the A cities, you get a show that day. So you get a show like, let's say in January, and at the end of the night, they announce a pre-sale for another show that you're getting. Because the A-cities, they go to a lot. And then A-cities get pay-per-views. But when you're a B-city, like Oklahoma City, they come see you once a year. You might get a Raw. You might get a SmackDown. Tulsa's actually higher rated as a city than Oklahoma City.
Oh, because they got a much better venue.
I don't know. I like Chesapeake. But
I like Chesapeake, but BOK is way nicer.
I don't know if I agree with that, but I've been to the Chesapeake. I've watched something like 70 or 80 Thunder games and then any wrestling event that's been there. So it's just like, I guess I'm just comfortable there. I like Tulsa, don't get me wrong. I think it's a really nice venue, but I don't think it's too much better than what we get here. They do have better drink selections. Way better drink selections. Always, as much as the world is energy drink crazy, it always shocks me when I go to like Chesapeake or a stadium and no one's selling energy drinks. You know, I just don't get it. But yeah, and the alcohol was better. But all of that will improve now because, you know, Oklahoma's liquor laws are a little different.
Right.
So I haven't been to Chesapeake since the liquor laws have changed. So I can't really speak to that. But that being said, on to more. It's just support both shows. That's what I'm really going to go to. We're going to bring this. I can tell you I'm going to bring up this World Class Radio, World Class Revolution show every show until the event. Again, it's January 20th. And it is in the Cox Convention Center where the Oklahoma City Blue play. It is, I believe it's after the game, correct?
That's my understanding, yes.
And I believe the game starts at 3 o'clock.
Is it 2 or at 3, yeah.
Yeah, I believe it is at 3 o'clock. So go get your tickets. You definitely want to go to, let me see. I believe you can go directly to Ticketmaster. Or you can go to the Oklahoma City G League page, single game tickets. So, yeah, it's oklahomacity.gleague.nba.com/tickets. And so if you just buy a ticket, from what I understand, if you just buy a ticket on January 20th to the game versus the Santa Cruz Warriors, that's the wrestling show too.
That is correct. And there's also going to be meet and greets. And I could be wrong, but I believe I saw like Hacksaw Jim Duggan's advertised for it and there's going to be some pretty good names here at that show.
Yeah, I'm on Ticketmaster right now, and the best I can get Oh, okay, so the good seats are the 200s.
Yes.
But 210, 213, and then like 308. So the tickets are selling pretty well.
Good.
So you definitely want to get into that. I'm definitely, like I said, I'm going to buy my tickets next month. I'm actually going to see if Jerry wants me to help out with the show. Just, you know, putting up chairs if he needs anything like that and see what I can do. But I'm definitely still going to buy a ticket because I want to support the, I want to support local wrestling, which is, if you listen to our show, it's very important to us, supporting local wrestling no matter where you live. Go to the location of your local wrestling show, you know, buy a ticket, you know, see some of the guys there, know that they're not making that much money to wrestle. So buy a picture, buy an autograph, buy something. You never know, you know, you could be taking a picture with a future WWE star. Because I imagine, you know, when Kevin Steen was working at like bingo halls and stuff in Canada and people were buying his picture and stuff, they didn't know he was going to be Kevin Owens.
Right.
So do that. Do that. Get it while it's cheap. Get it while it's cheap, you know? that's the best time to go. Get them while they're like $5 for an autograph, $5 for a picture. Sometimes they'll do both for $5. Because, you know, you're kind of just gambling, you know, that they might make it. And you can be like, I knew you went. You could be there before everyone else. But, yeah, but WWE signing up everybody. That's the goal, world domination. They are the Walmart of wrestling. And by that, I mean, you go there. It doesn't necessarily mean it's better, but it's just more convenient. You can go to YouTube, Twitter, WWE.com. You can go to WWE Network. You can always watch wrestling. And you can, a lot of times, you can watch wrestling without paying, WWE without paying anything. I mean, I know kids that just watch WWE YouTube videos, and they generally just watch 90s wrestling. Like, if you talk about people that are current, they don't know who they are because they just watch it what's on YouTube. So, just know, that's what they are. They're the Walmart of it. They're more convenient. Like, I was talking to a friend, and maybe you agree with this. What, name your top three fast food burger restaurants.
Top three burger fast food?
Yeah.
Top three in no particular order, Brahms, Carl's Jr., Burger King. No, Brahms, Whataburger, Carl's Jr.
And with me, it was Brahms, Burger King, and then Brahms, Carl's Jr., and then I said Burger King. But Whataburger would be up there, too. If you ask me, and I know this doesn't apply to you because you rarely go there, but you ask me, what burger do you have more than anything? And I say McDonald's. Well, your McDonald's wasn't in your top three. I was like, shit, McDonald's isn't in my top 10. But on my way to work, I passed 7 McDonald's.
Yeah, it's cheap, convenient, off every highway.
Yeah. On my way to work, I passed 0 Burger Kings. Literally. I work 42 miles from my house to my job. And I don't pass a single convenient Burger King. I passed 7 convenient McDonald's. Whataburger, unfortunately, is a place where they make all the burgers fresh, so the waiting line's always a little bit longer. And
right.
You know, so I go to McDonald's. WWE, you'll hear, man, that Progress show was amazing this weekend. Dude, you should watch that Progress show. Well, if I want to go watch the Progress show, I got to go pay $7.99. You know, or, you know, for I have Progress on demand. I'm talking as a person that doesn't. I have to go pay $7.99 for Progress, or I got to go pay for it, or I have to go do the pay-per-view that they have on the pivot chair. I want to watch WWE. Hey, Bill, I'm just going to use a generic name. Let me use your WWE Network account, because you know someone that has a WWE Network account. And then I'm going to go watch this great match I just saw on NXT for free.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's the way a lot of people do it.
It's convenient. It's convenient. So it's like WWE's not better. They're a lot convenient. And that leads to our next topic. How shitty was Raw this week?
Really bad.
Yeah. A lot of people are calling it the worst episode in wrestling history.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, like the worst Raw.
It's the worst one since I've been back watching 4 years, 5 years now.
Yeah, so everyone's like, yeah, a lot of people. That's the comment. Since I've been back watching wrestling, it's the worst. And I even said, I made it very clear. I thought it was a episode of necessity. And for people that don't listen to the daily show that I do, Indie Wrestling Radio, I'll make it simple. WWE does not produce a weekly wrestling show. Incorrect. Because they do. They produce several weekly wrestling shows. But they don't produce... Raw and SmackDown are not a weekly wrestling show. They're a TV show that has wrestling in it.
Correct.
So, what I mean is you have to think of it like Netflix and the Marvel episodes. I like Iron Fist. I'm one of the few people.
But What? You like Iron Fist?
I like Iron Fist. The problem with Iron Fist is the first two or three episodes, generally nothing happens.
They got the worst actor and the worst martial artist in the history of people to play one of the best martial artists in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I like Finn Jones. I liked him when he was on Game of Thrones, and I thought he played the character was written annoying. And there's not a lot you can do if the character is written annoying.
Yeah, I've seen about 45 minutes of Game of Thrones, and I hated it. I'll never watch another episode, so I can't, I don't know.
So, that being said, you know, when you look at it, you have to kind of fight through the first few episodes. Game of Thrones was like that, too. You had to fight through the first episode. You know, it was like a lot of setup of future. It's a lot of setup. You have to fight through it. So, this episode, if you think of Survivor Series and Raw as the season finale and the cliffhanger. So, a lot of storylines ended at Survivor Series, and the cliffhanger was Braun getting hurt. You're thinking of this new episode, especially with Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, Kevin Owens. You got a lot of injuries right now. So, you got a lot of not storylines there. So what you're going to get is you're getting a first episode. In this first episode, they're establishing that Baron Corbin is the new head heel on Raw. He is the new head heel. He is the new threat. He is the big bad for this section of Raw television. So he's going to be the big bad. And the big bad has his two henchmen in Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre. So, this whole episode was getting Baron Corbin over. They could have called this Raw is Corbin. It would have been very accurate. That was the point of this episode. But the problem with episodes where you get the heel over, they tend to be boring. Because generally when you're getting the heel over, good guys do a lot of stupid shit. And it becomes unwatchable. So, at times. So, then, unfortunately... Ronda Rousey did the pipe bomb thing where, you know, she got a lot of credit for the whole Nikki Bella thing, right? Well, they decided since then to put her on the mic a lot more. And the problem is she's not good on the mic yet.
She's a hot take one-liner. She's a hot take one-liner kind of person right now.
She doesn't know how to manipulate a crowd. And right. Then the answer to that is to put Nia Jax on the mic. And I think Nia Jax is gorgeous. Nia Jax is a lot of things. But a good on the mic is not one of them. Like two or three of the worst in-ring on-mic performances that I've heard this year have been with Nia Jax. She seems very uncomfortable cutting a promo. She came out with super hot heel heat, and by the end of the segment, nobody was making a peep. No one cared. Even with Serena Snuka standing there. No one cared. Did you notice that?
No, not really.
So now, like, she came out and it was like, boo! She started talking. 2 minutes in, no one cared anymore. And it's just like, dude, you had a crowd set up to hate you. And the tone you took with the interview, they went from hate to, I don't give a fuck that you're out here right now. Then to the point Ronda Rousey comes out and they cheer her and all that kind of stuff. And she has to literally stop and appreciate the crowd cheering her. Then she cuts a promo. And she uses a lot of words in her promo, unfortunately. I think that's my problem with her promos. Ultimately. If you ever just want to go back and just listen to the promo, don't watch the show again. I would never put anybody through that. But just watch the Ronda Rousey section of the promo. She says too much.
Yeah, that she does.
Yeah. It's like, if she came out and said, Nile, I'll break your arm and I'll break Serena's arm too if she wants some of this. Or she comes out and says, and Becky and Charlotte, I'm coming to break your arm too. That would have been a great over promo. Right?
Yeah, it would have definitely got the point across and it would have put more heat on Charlotte and it would have got Ronda over.
She came out and she weaves this 3 minute promo that I can't tell you really anything she said. I'm mad at you, Nia. I'm mad at you, Becky. I'm mad at you, Charlotte. That's pretty much what I got out of it. I don't remember any specific thing she said.
The only thing specific that I remember her saying, and that's right before I checked out on the promo, when Nia was getting ready to say something, and you heard her on the microphone say, hold on, let me hear the crowd.
Yeah.
When she said, hold on, I want to hear the crowd.
So the thing you remember is her kind of screwing up.
Yeah.
There you go. So that was a painful segment in Raw. And I think a lot of people checked out at that point. And then we got a lot of the same matches. You got Seth Rollins does the open challenge. And, you know, first of all, the lights go out and everybody was expecting Bray Wyatt and it was Elias. Then Seth does the open challenge and Dolph Ziggler comes out, the match we've seen 100 times this year. And then the main event is Baron Corbin versus Finn Balor, which we've seen 100 times this year. And in the first match, Baron Corbin changes the rules in the middle of the match. The last match, Baron Corbin changes the rules in the middle of the match. You know what? That's the only part I felt like made a whole hell of a lot of sense in this show. You are establishing that it's going to be hard to beat Baron Corbin because he's the boss too, and he can change the rules at any time.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because him being able to do that, you're not going to beat him in a match.
Yeah.
Unless you knock him out.
Yeah, because he can restart the match. He can do this. You're going to need someone that balances out the power. So that's great. And they also, and in his show, and this is where another place I have to get WWE credit. We got three separate women's storylines going on. We got Ronda versus Nia. We got Natalya against the Riot Squad. And now you got Alexa and her crew beating up on Sasha and Bayley.
With Alexa being in charge of the women's division now.
So you got three different storylines for women. So that was strong. But the worst thing on the show, the dirt worst thing, Ryan, I know this is going to break your heart, and I think you know where I'm going because I'm specifically talking to you. What the fuck is Lucha House Rules?
Man, to the people that are listening to this and you're a fan of Lucha style wrestling and all that, I'm sorry. This is not meant to discourage or offend or anything like that. But I don't fucking know. You put the three guys that are in the Lucha House Party in there with the best tag team on Raw, the best tag team in the WWE, one of the top five tag teams in the world, and it's a complete shit show because nobody in their right, nobody that watches traditional or non-lucha wrestling, I'll say non-lucha wrestling, knows what the hell is going on in one of those matches. You got to have all, everybody's can be tagged in. It doesn't matter how many people are in the group. They could have three, they could have eight, they could have nine guys up there on the apron if they wanted to. These people got two, but yet it's essentially just a handicap match. Why does it have to be a Lucha House Party rules? Why can't it just be a handicap match? Because that's what it is. It's stupid.
Yeah, and it's like basically Renee Young saying, and this is, I don't know if anybody wrote this or she was trying to come off the top of the head. I don't go at her especially hard. I mean, I love Renee Young, and that's why I don't go at her especially hard, because I just fucking love her. I think she's amazing. I love her personality. I love her energy. I love that everyone seems to like her. Well, she said about the dumbest thing ever, that the only people that have a problem with Lucha House rules are old fogies that like old school wrestling. I don't understand a handicap match making the Lucha House Party look good. It's like you need three guys to beat their two.
Yeah, that does nothing, at least for me, that does nothing for Lucha House Party. It makes them look weak.
And then, even worse, is she tried to compare it to Freebird rules or New Day rules. Which, no, all three Freebirds were not involved in the match.
Yeah, that is not the Freebird rule.
Not all three New Day are not involved in the match. So it's like, let me tell you, she kind of made her look stupid. Now, she's not the first person to ever say something that doesn't make sense on wrestling, so I will let that slide, and I still love Renee Young, but it's just, don't say that again. Don't say that again, lady.
That sounds very much like a Shane Wine or a Vince or a Stephanie or something like that.
Somebody whispered it in her ear and she repeated it, and she probably, like, after she repeated it, that sounded really stupid.
It was actually probably Kevin Dunn is who it was, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like I said, it's just one of those things. I'm not saying that that's stupid. You know, that kind of thing. Because even Corey Graves responded and basically made fun of her for saying that. And I'm just like, yeah. Because that's kind of Corey Graves' gimmick. He makes fun of people. And so, yeah, Raw was an F.
Yeah, very much so.
And I was like, I tell people, they used to have episodes like this all the time in the Attitude Era, in the Ruthless Aggression Era, all those eras. They had episodes like this. They were just executed better. Everything this would happen the same, but the wrestlers that did it executed the vision better. Nia Jax, there was nothing wrong with her promo as far as how it was written. How she performed it was bad. Ronda Rousey, how it was written was bad, but I heard she writes most of her own promos. I just think someone needs to whisper in her ear, you know, less is more. What does Brock Lesnar say? Nothing.
Very little.
Very little. You're going to Suplex City, bitch. That kind of should be Ronda Rousey's thing. She shouldn't say much. She had one really good promo, but everything she said in that promo was low-hanging fruit. It was like what everybody says about Nikki Bella. She had some good lines in there, and that was great. But yes, that was it for Raw. Shitty, shitty Raw. So I sent, in SmackDown, I thought SmackDown was decent. I don't think there was anything especially memorable for them. You?
The only thing from SmackDown that I would like to talk about is, my God, that promo from Samoa Joe.
He's really good at it.
Like, where he just undercut and brought up everything that Jeff Hardy has ever done wrong.
You have to, and again, and I said this about Nikki Bella. Nikki Bella has been mentioned probably more on this show than she has in a long time. So that being said, so I have to give it a shout out. You have to have big, a lot of security in yourself to let somebody bring up that stuff.
Oh yeah, Jeff. Jeff Hardy was well aware. He was okay with it because him and Joe were probably good friends from working together in TNA. It's one of those things that you don't expect to see on WWE TV. So that caught me off guard. That was like a surprise.
Yeah, yeah. It was about as raw and as, but you know, they did the video, documentary where they showed them talking about drugs on the recording, and they have not shied away from Jeff Hardy's and Matt Hardy's substance abuse problems. And Jeff Hardy doesn't shy away from that. When CM Punk pretty much ran him out of WWE, as far as that's how the storyline was written, Jeff was going through some shit, and CM Punk was bringing it up every week. So Samoa Joe does things, and he has this confidence, this swagger, for best of lack of a better word, about how he delivers things. And it was like a five-star, you know, five-star promo for me. And it set up their feud. I think, and this is going to be impossible, and he would tell me I'm stupid and I'm a mark and I don't know anything about wrestling. I think Jeff Hardy really needs to change his wrestling style.
Yeah, he's not what he was, and it's just, it's a very watered down version of what it used to be, and it's not all that interesting.
So I agree. It's just he's so slow. He has the noticeable limp when he does the whisper in the wind and all these different moves that he's known for. It's just so much slower and less smooth than it used to be. So it's just like, I know it would suck because, you know, a lot of people want to see what they want to see, and that's great. But he really needs to change his style to more of a ground-based style. You can still, you know, change some things up, but the jumping style is just the, I know you're the death-defying Jeff Hardy, but your body doesn't know that you're the death-defying Jeff Hardy anymore.
Right.
So you need to adjust. And I just want to let you know, if I wanted to pause and just, if you're experiencing any audio issues, Ryan usually records on a computer. He is recording on the phone. So unfortunately, that is a little less of a reliable signal. So you might have heard some static in his voice or something like that. I do apologize. He'll be back on the computer next week because his internet works better. Hopefully his internet will work better next week. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm sure it will. There's some storms and stuff here in Oklahoma tonight and the wind and stuff. Right before we started recording, there was an update that we could be getting 60-mile-an-hour winds and stuff. So there's all kinds of stuff going on tonight. So I just thought it'd be better to do it from the phone rather than take 5 hours to record a 2-hour podcast from all the cut-ins and outs.
Oh, yeah, and it's definitely a more consistent one. But there have been times where I have heard a little static and heard beeps on the line. And, yeah, I'm going to do my best to get rid of as much of that as I can. But it's just how we're recording tonight. So we definitely apologize for that. Yeah, SmackDown was that. So I sent you some matches on NXT. The few matches that I sent were from, because you get two NXT shows, you know, two NXT UK shows on Wednesday. You get 205 Live, and then you get the regular NXT. So I noticed some matches, some really good matches from the NXT shows. From NXT UK, we had Pete Dunne versus Jordan Devlin on the first episode they released. We then had Toni Storm and Rhea Ripley for the NXT Women's Champion, NXT UK Women's Championship. Then we did on the regular NXT show, for a lot of people that have not been aware, you really had a showcase match against for Keith Lee. You had a match against someone his size, and it was a little longer, so you could really see what he could do. So I really thought that was a match to talk about. The first match we're going to talk about is Jordan Devlin versus Pete Dunne. So did you get to watch that one, sir?
I did.
What did you think?
Wow. Pete Dunne continues to amaze me. There's no doubt about it. He is extremely good in the ring, but here lately, like the last 6 months, maybe 8 months, it seems like every match he has is better than the last one. He's getting that much better. And I think if he wants to be, this is a guy that can eventually get, if he decides to go to the main roster and wants to, he's somebody you could build the company around and be one of the top three guys in the company. He's that good in the ring.
I would love to be like, I disagree or whatever, but I literally tweeted out on the club that I have to accept. I have come around to the point that he might be the best worker in the world. And people, they might question it. Of course, our UK people definitely agree, but he doesn't have bad matches. His floor is like a 4-star. Like every match he has is a 4-star. He had that
pretty much.
He had against Danny Burch. I thought it was the best match I saw of the week. He had that match against Jordan Devlin. I would say that's probably his best match of the year. But he's had that match against Roderick Strong. Adam Cole. He's had so many great matches. You can't say one was just like overwhelmingly better than the other. Like he had a match at the Progress Big Wembley show, and I've heard that was a great match. But I haven't even watched that one. And it's just like Pete Dunne is becoming a person that I will find and watch his matches because he's just so good. He took, I think Jordan Devlin did 2 Spanish flies in this one. One was like on the outside of the ring on the steps or something like that. And then one was in the inside of the ring. And I know a lot of people, Spanish fly is unfortunately one of the faker looking moves, but it's impressive every time. And he pulled it off twice, and it looked like it made sense in the flow of the match. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, when he hit both of them, it went with the match, and it looked ridiculous when he did it. And the one in the ring, for a second, I thought for sure, he's got this one.
Yeah, I went in knowing the result, and I questioned whether Pete Dunne was going to lose a couple times. And I just thought this match was great. I don't know if you've heard of this app, Ryan. It's called the Grapple app. It's Grapl, and it's on Google Play and Apple Store, and it loads up wrestling matches, and you create a profile and you can rate it. I signed up a couple weeks ago when the Voices of Wrestling flagship. I hadn't rated a lot of shows. I kind of went in immediately after this match and rated that. I gave it a 4.5.
I have not heard of this app, but I am very intrigued. And when we're done recording tonight, I'm going to go look at it, and I'll probably send you a message here or there about it to make sure I know how to use it right.
Yeah, it's the word grapple without the E. So it's Grappl. So download that app, and I have an account on there. I'm Floyd Johnson, of course. And you can follow me. I've added Jeremy Donovan from Keeping It Strong Style. Of course, I've added Rich Craich and Joe Lanza. I've definitely added them. And I see their matches rating. Me and Joe disagree quite often, which me and Joe are going to disagree quite often.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
You're like, I look for different things in my matches than he does. So we're going to generally disagree. He's going to think some match is 5-star. I'm going to be like, it was like a 3.5. That's how different our ratings generally are. When we both say something was like a 5-star, I am always shocked because that means that match serve the purposes of two completely different wrestling watchers. Because
yeah.
I watch a match for different things than Joe watches the match for. So, obviously, or our ratings would be the same every time. So, that being said, yeah, check that app out. Yeah, I went and rated this match a 4.5. I was very excited. That match had me pumped up. I'm like messaging people, watch this match. And I don't do that a lot. You know, I only do if it's really special. I've never heard tell someone watch this match and they were like, it was all right. No, generally when I say watch this match, it grabbed my attention. It made me put my phone down. It made me stop doing whatever else I was doing at that time. And that match did. From like 2 minutes in. It started so quick that it was just like 2 minutes in. I'm like, oh, pause. Because sometimes when I'm doing other things, you know, I'll be watching it and then I'll just have in on the background. It was like, whoa, okay, let me catch up with what I'm doing here. Let me stop doing this and pay attention to this.
Yeah, that was easily the match of the week that I saw.
Yeah, so thought that was a really solid match. The next match we're going to talk about is we crowned a new NXT Women's Champion. I have been spoiled on this for months, so I really didn't think I was going to enjoy the match, but I actually really did enjoy the match. Rhea Ripley is a freaking star. She just has this look, this energy, this feel. I've said it so much before, but she was wrestling against a supernova in Toni Storm, who's also a star, and WWE believes in him. And Edge on Edge and Christian show this week said he thought she was an amazing star. He said she is something special. And honestly, she is, you know, when you like to compare a female to a male, that's who I compare her to. So it was pretty awesome that Edge likes her as much, because I feel like she's a female Edge. What do you think, sir?
That's it. I hadn't really thought about it, but I could see it. Yeah.
Because they got that built rock star persona, that energy with everything that they do. They're very smooth in the ring. It's just, she just reminds me of a female Edge. Not that.
Yeah, no, definitely. Now that you mention it and I'm thinking about it here, I see it. She carries herself like a rock star and like she's the top of the world and I'm going to have fun and enjoy it while I do it.
Yeah, before I knew who she was, when she first came out and the music would hit and she'd do the look to the right, and it was just like, if you didn't know she was a big deal, just by her entrance, you would think she was a big deal. Because she comes out with that type of energy. So, and then Rhea Ripley, good Lord, she is going to be a top heel for the WWE for a long time. I don't see how you make her face. She's so much bigger than everybody else. She's physically dominant. She has, honestly, resting bitch face. So, I don't see how you make her a face.
I don't either. She should be the number one heel in the company for women.
Yeah, that is not me downgrading her. This is a high compliment. It's just like, I don't see how you can root for someone who is that much more physically dominant than anyone. It was like when they tried to make Nia Jax face. She's not sympathetic to anyone. She's 6 foot, 300 pounds. Well, 280 or 260, whatever the number is. She's a big chick. There's no sympathy for her. Rhea Ripley is like 5 inches taller than everybody else. She's going to have to wrestle Charlotte and Nia Jax to get to people that are as big as she is. But, yeah, her being that bully, hard, like, rock type, I mean, is like, you know, Edge and Toni Storm were kind of like pop rock, you know what I mean? Like, Rhea Ripley is like dark metal, you know, she is goth, she is whatever, she is like, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to enjoy doing it. And I'm going to do it because I'm better than you. Because the smirk, the cocky look on her face, she just has the total heel package. So what did you think of the actual performance of the match?
The match itself, I didn't know the outcome. I hadn't seen the outcome yet. So watching it, I enjoyed it. I actually watched it twice. Once, the first time I was a little distracted, and the second time I just sit there and watched it and got away from all the other distractions. But good match. I enjoyed it. Those two work really well together. I thought they told a good story, and I was shocked when Ripley got the win. I thought the match was going to go another 5 minutes or so before it ended. But I really enjoyed it, and I hope that we see a rematch with these two, and they can go again and really put on another show, because I could watch those two wrestle each other just about every day.
I believe, and this is complete me trying to remember, I'm telling you now, I don't remember all the way. I believe Toni Storm got hurt shortly before this match, and that's why it was short.
Okay.
She was, like, had an injury during this match. Because, to let you know, this was shot before the Mae Young Classic.
What?
Yeah. This was shot in, like, June? They recorded a whole bunch of episodes, and we're just getting them now.
I knew they recorded a whole bunch of episodes, but I thought that was, like, just here, like, in the last week or so.
No. You have Rhea Ripley took that belt. She was at Evolution with it. They had a pre-show match with her and Dakota Kai for the NXT UK title.
Wow. I didn't know that. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I was just saying. It was just a point to be made that this was not new. This was not something that no one knew about. But I'm glad you were able to remain unspoiled. Actually, WWE NXT UK was the first one to spoil it. They actually spoiled it for me. She was doing a radio show, and it was her and with the title, and I think Pete Dunne with the title. And I was like, and I even replied, thanks for spoiling that. Thank you for spoiling that, WWE. You haven't aired this. I had no idea it happened. Oh, well, that shit happens. But I thought it was a really good match. I gave it a 3.5 on Grapple. And that wasn't what I was disappointed. It was just kind of way shorter and kind of anticlimactic to me. That was my problem with the match. It's just like, it's for the title. I want to feel like Toni Storm died trying to win that title. I would have liked to see her kick out of Rhea's move and then Rhea get really frustrated. And then for some reason have to hit it again. And that's how she finally wins. But I'm not saying there's a lot of other ways to tell that exact same thing that I was just talking about. But I just want, like I said, I just wanted more drama in the win.
No, that all makes sense. And hearing you say it, the length was really the thing that stuck out to me, but I didn't know she was hurt at the time. So that makes a lot of sense. So I think the next time we see these people go, I'm about 3.25, 3.5. But I think these two are capable of putting on a 5-star match.
All right. And NXT UK announced that they're doing a takeover in January from Blackpool. And it'll be their first NXT takeover. They've announced the matches, but it'll probably spoil the weeks up to the show. So I'm not going to say what they are. One, I don't know. I don't think there's an NXT UK women's match on the card yet. So I was wondering, would Toni Storm cash in her Mae Young title shot for the shot at the NXT UK belt instead of the actual NXT title?
That's an interesting thought. That could work, and that would be really good, and that'd be a perfect big name card fight match for that card. Because I'm going to be honest, I've only watched I watched the first two episodes of NXT UK in full, and then I've watched the few matches that you've suggested to watch here and there. Because watching the first two episodes and then the other stuff here and there trying to get to what you suggested, I haven't been able to get into the show. Most of the people that are on it, outside of your Pete Dunne and your Rhea Ripley's and Toni Storm and then Devlin and then Tyler Bate, I'm not drawn to anybody. I know there's this one guy on there. He's bald and got like a reddish goatee. Every time he talks, it's like the place goes nuts. He's interesting, but I just haven't been able to get into it for some reason. I probably need to sit down and watch it when I have nothing else going on and I can be distraction free to really get into it.
Yeah, I mean, and they're pretty good storylines and things like that. I enjoy the show. I mean, the Pete Dunne matches, their matches are more epics. Their matches to me are closer to 205 Live matches. They are always well competitive. I definitely can say I am more attached to the characters because I've watched 68 episodes of Progress.
Yeah, so you've got that stuff. Yeah. The stuff I know about these guys is what's been on normal NXT TV and then the two UK specials.
When your schedule clears up, of course, you know, you can log into the Progress account and, you know, maybe watch a few older shows. Because, like I said, I have an emotional attachment with Dave Mastiff, Liguero, people like that that other people don't have that emotional attachment with.
Okay. Yeah, one of these days I want to go back and watch Progress. It's just I don't know when that time's going to be.
All right. I just read this, so I'm going to spend a special shout-out and a congratulations to Aleister Black and Zelina Vega. They got married.
I saw this a little bit earlier. I would have never guessed it.
They do not. They don't talk about being in a relationship, but they definitely don't hide it. Both of their cats got Instagram, which I found out from Lindsay because, you know, animals have an Instagram, so it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And their cats are both in it, and they send pictures out of them together, and it's just like it's never really been confirmed. They just don't, you know, they don't talk about it, but they don't hide it either. And they were doing a workout. They were doing, I even posted a picture of relationship goals. Aleister Black was holding the gloves for her, and Zelina Vega was doing kickboxing. And I was like, dude, that's kind of cool, because they were working out and doing stuff together. I just thought that was really cool. But yeah, so they got married. Congratulations to both of them. Yeah, Aleister Black, good job. Zelina Vega, good job. I mean, they're going to be able to go, you know, they're going to be able to do this for a while. You know what I mean? It's just like, as far as wrestling, but that's the whole thing. Their characters are so different. I don't think you can make it make sense for them to work together, unlike all the rest of the married couples. Because they look so different. They don't look like they go together.
No, they don't.
She went from Austin Aries, from what I understand, to Aleister Black. And I can't think of two people. I think me and Austin Aries looks more similar than Austin Aries than Aleister Black. That's to me the extreme difference in their characters. Tattooed from head to toe, basically no, you know, the long hair with shaved sides. I mean, Aleister Black, you know, then Austin Aries, clean cut, suits all the time. It's just like there is no more extreme differences in two people. It's just,
yeah, they're definitely different.
Yeah, so it's definitely different. So congratulations, hope it lasts forever. And the last NXT match that I told you to watch is my boy, the Limitless Keith Lee versus Lars Sullivan. Now, I am a longtime fan of Haas matches. Now, if like never open title, those kind of things. I like the big physical matches. And those matches Vince loves, I love too. I love just two big old grown ass men knocking the shit out of each other. That's what this match was. Did you enjoy it, sir?
It was good. I don't think it was great by any means. It was 3 stars, but it showed me something in Keith Lee, with him going against a bigger person, but it still didn't do anything for me for Lars Sullivan. So I wasn't really excited at all any point watching it, but the more I see a Keith Lee, the more I become a fan, because I had never even seen a match of his until his first match on NXT TV. So I went in with what you were saying and what I read on Twitter, but dude's athletic as hell.
Like, yeah.
A dude that big shouldn't be able to slingshot himself over the top rope.
And corkscrew.
Yeah.
Yeah, big thing with Keith Lee, yeah, that was one thing. The man, how athletic he is and how big he is. I saw a match with him and Donovan Dijak. It's on YouTube. I think it was Beyond Wrestling. They're just extreme, excuse me, extremely athletic men. And that's what I said. I even tweeted to him. You might not have gotten the pin, but Keith Lee, you definitely won tonight. Because Jason, who had no idea who Keith Lee was, came to me and said, "Who's this Keith Lee guy? Tell me more about him." That's how you know you won.
Yeah, if you can get people not knowing who somebody is and they come out and they put on a match and you're like, "Okay, I need to know more of this guy," you're a winner.
You won. So the casuals came out asking who Keith Lee was. And it's funny because Leo Rush is the man of the hour, of course. But Keith Lee, when he was coming out in Independence, it's like Keith Lee, the man of the hour, king of the ring, intelligence and power. So that was his thing. So now it's like, oh, can't say that. I'm hoping what are their producers called? I keep forgetting. But I hope him and the CFOs can get together and put together him doing another one of his songs, because I'm actually fairly entertained when he does his own music. But I thought this was a great Haas match, very physical. You really got to see what Keith Lee can do. Not a lot of small people can catch him, right? So he really needed somebody like Lars Sullivan, Donovan Dijak, those type of people. He's going to need the bigger types, Matt Riddle, those people that can actually catch him and support him when he's doing this.
Yeah, because he's incredibly gifted and athletic. I don't see how he does what he does at that size. Props to him. I can't wait to see more.
Yeah, and that's what this match is. To me, that's what I was hoping that was the response to this match, is that I want my people to be like, I want to see him do more. I don't think this was a 5-star match. I just thought it was a very telling way to show what he could do. So that, I thought that was cool. Those were the matches for NXT. Anything else you remember from WWE programming you want to talk about?
Not from programming, but I do have a question. I sent this to you a little bit earlier. It's in reference to WWE. It's the only thing left that I have to talk about with WWE. What do you think, or it may have been the first time you heard about it, but Dave Meltzer reported that WWE has the option to buy and shut down their UK partner promotions at any point over the next several years. He said it would cost like high 6 figures for some of them, but their agreements are ICW, Progress, and WXW, this says. And apparently RevPro is the person in charge of RevPro is the person that broke the news on this, because he told them, no, I won't do that with you.
Just think about the other companies. basically, if they buy Progress, they buy WXW, they buy, what was the other one?
ICW.
They buy those. You know what they're actually buying, right? The tape libraries. They're buying stuff to put on the network. They're not necessarily buying the company. They're not going to buy Progress and start putting them on Progress shows. They would buy Progress, and Jim Smallman and all the people out there would get a nice payout. And then they would take that material and put it on the network and probably charge a premium for it. And the reason it is over the next several years, because I imagine Progress has their deal with Pivot Share, right? They have to wait until that contract's up. WXW has their own on-demand system. And, you know, you're looking at that, and ICW has theirs, you know. Basically, hey, you're going to close me anyway. Once WWE UK becomes a touring brand in England, or in, you know, becomes a touring brand, they're going to close them anyway. At least they get a payout for it.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting because of those three companies, Progress is the only one I've ever heard of.
WXW does something called a 24 karat. It's like the Bola. ICW is, I believe, is Ireland. I think Finn was in that one for a long time.
Okay.
I think Wolfgang is mainly at those shows. I think that's where he mainly works.
Ah, okay.
So, yeah, because, like, you just think about it. You look at those companies. Progress, Pete Dunne, British Strong Style was the major people from Progress. WWE got them. You know what I mean? That was the big thing with getting them. WXW, they've now signed Walter. Walter was WXW. He was the main guy of WXW. Now you got ICW, and I believe that was Wolfgang, which is the big, I think he was the big guy, Insane Championship Wrestling. Yeah, it's a Scottish wrestling company. Current champions. Mark Coffey is a champion there. Jordan Devlin worked there. I'm just looking at it right now. Viper, or aka Piper Niven, was a champion, is the women's champion there. But yeah, it's like you have Wolfgang and Joe Coffey were two former ICW champions. Drew McIntyre is actually in their Hall of Fame. So the whole thing with it is they go out of business, shit, at least Vince McMahon's cutting them a check. You know what I mean? They don't have to do the whole 50, you know, slow, steady decline of their company. And by option to buy, I don't think it's, if you know, I don't know a lot about contract wrestling. I'm not on the inside or anything. But I don't think they can buy. I would guess they can't buy before the other company's ready to sell.
I would probably assume that. I mean, unless they have like some kind of like stock option or something where they could just buy out stocks.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. I don't think they can buy before they're ready to sell, but like I said, the news looks like they can offer that. But I'm like, you're the guys in Progress, and you started working a little show, and you became big and stuff. Your goal is to get a big check from the WWE. That's the goal. It's like those startups. The internet startups, their goals generally aren't to become Google. Their goal is to be bought by Google.
Yeah, because they're going to get more money doing that.
Yeah, and less work. It's hard to run a Google. You know, so it's like, oh, well, you give me $150 million for my idea and my company, and I can retire at 24 and never have to work again. Sounds good to me. Work really hard for a couple years, sell your company, and cash out. Man, that would be, I'm guessing that's the dream. But with Progress, they've built something. I don't think the WWE would want to give up the Progress name just because it has so much cachet about it. Like I said, I'm on Progress On Demand. if they start doing progress on the WWE Network, it would be actually, you know, it probably would end up being cheaper for me because I don't have to have two different subscriptions. Let me ask you this, Ryan. I wanted to ask you this.
Okay.
So if the Elite all go to this All Elite Wrestling, right? And they all leave ROH, say they're not working ROH anymore. To you, is there a value in having that 1 year Ring of Honor subscription anymore? Is there anybody that you is like, I want to see?
As far as anybody that's like must see, no. But there are people in Ring of Honor that's not part of the Elite that I am intrigued in and I want to see grow. Like Jeff Cobb. I want to see more of him. I still want to see Jay Lethal, even though he's not, we know what we got with Jay Lethal. I'm not a fan of his wrestling style, but Flip Gordon, the character, I don't consider him, because I know he just recently signed with Ring of Honor and exclusive. His character work, I'm intrigued with what he's going to do as a character. And honestly, there's Emma. I can't remember her actual name.
Tennille Dashwood.
Yeah, Tennille Dashwood. I'm intrigued with her. I want to see her. But
yeah, I think the only reason she's not the champion of ROH is because I don't think she will sign an exclusive deal with them.
That's very much probably the case. But as far as like just outright gotta see go every week, no.
The Pac-12 championship ended with a score of 10-3.
Utah or Washington?
Washington. They won. Basically, they won on a pick six. That was the only touchdown in the game, and it happened in the third or fourth quarter.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah. So Pac-12. Pac-12 is the defensive conference in college football. 10-3. Those are your two best teams. And the score was 10-3. Huh. Interesting. That OU and Texas will probably score more than that in the first 7 minutes of their game.
Wouldn't doubt it.
Honestly, not OU or Texas. Not OU and Texas. OU will probably have 14 points by the end of the first quarter. And they would have outscored the whole Pac-12 championship game. I know y'all didn't come in here to hear football, so we're not going to go too much into that. But it just popped up on the screen. Where I'm like I said, I know we're not here to talk about college football, but just isn't that weird?
That surprises me. I thought both teams would have easily put up about 3 or 4 scores at least.
Yeah. So I got sidetracked there. What were we talking about before football?
We were talking about the All Elite and the Ring of Honor network.
Because you think if they take all the Elite people, you think Flip Gordon, the only way ROH survives if they continue a working relationship with All Elite Wrestling. And I think the best way, like maybe a slow rollout of All Elite Wrestling would be smart, as in, they do like 4 major events for the first year, but they don't do, you know, they don't do a weekly show. And then the goal is to get TV. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's like maybe like once a quarter, like All In type show.
Yeah. And then, maybe Cody and the Bucks, they continue to work with ROH and with New Japan. I'm big on this, and I think it's the thing with Cody too, and I might be speaking out of my ass. I am very open to saying that. I just don't think they like going – I don't think they like losing a day of their life to go to Japan and work.
I think, especially with the Young Bucks, I think they're getting to that point to where their kids are getting to that age where they want to see more of their kids' lives.
Yeah, and it's just like, you think about it. When they say, I'm on a 15-hour flight to Japan, you got to think, that's just there. Then you got a 15-hour flight back. You've lost a day in the air to travel.
Yeah.
And it's just like, when you're in your 20s and you're building it, and when they were building the Young Bucks brand, yeah, it was amazing. I'm just happy that people in Japan want to work with me, and they want to cut me big checks and all that kind of stuff. And that's great. But now that you're older and you could probably make significantly more money in America and not have to lose a day of travel, you got to think about that. You know what I mean?
Oh, definitely. Especially when you have young kids. Because that's, I mean, there's only so many firsts with your kids. And at that point, it's like, well, if you're missing everything, what, it takes a toll on you.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely takes a toll on you. You know, like Cody and Brandy, they travel a lot, and it's just like, you know, then they take their little time off. And you need to. You need to take care of your body. And even like John Cena was talking about when he was in the WWE, and he got a trailer. And he was like, yes, it was expensive, but it's going to add years to my career because he has a driver. He goes out into the trailer. Everything he needs is in the trailer. He just goes to sleep, you know. He goes to bed, effectively goes to bed, as opposed to having to get your stuff together, get in a rental car, go to the hotel, check in, get all your stuff in the hotel, and then go to sleep. You're adding probably about 3 or 4 hours to your day. So just think about on that, that's a micro level. On a macro level, think about the Young Bucks not having to go to Japan every year, except for maybe like a couple times when they want to. That's going to add days to their year. Days where they get to spend more time with their family. Days to their career.
Easily, because they go to Japan a couple times a month.
Yeah, so yeah, they go to Japan all the time. So it's just like, this is going to add days to their life, weeks probably. So I you know, I'm definitely rooting for them. I don't know what they're going to do with this All Elite Wrestling. I'm going to follow it. I am going to support it as much as I possibly can, because of course it's Cody. But yeah, I was thinking about that with Ring of Honor. I was like, once Cody's gone, let's just say they do a show in April. I won't be like, hey, Ryan, come over and watch this with me. I'll be like, Ryan, you can watch it, and I'll watch it sometime this week. Because it becomes, to me, without them, it becomes a lot less must-see to me.
No, that's a fair point. They're going to have to, and from what I understand, ROH has been through this before, where they've had people that became stars, and it was must-see, and then they leave, and then they have to rebuild. If the Elite leaves, that's what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to rebuild.
But I will say, this is like Davey Richards as champion rebuild, because WWE has signed so many people. Who do you got to work? Jay Lethal's going to be the champion for 5 years. Or him and Dalton Castle are going to switch it back and forth. You're just running out of talent. And understand, as much as Cody is nice and loving and wants everybody to get paid, if he's a part owner or a part of All Elite Wrestling, he's going to go steal your people. The Kingdom's going to be in All Elite Wrestling. The Addiction's going to be in All Elite Wrestling because those are their friends. That's who they work with, you know? And they're not going to think about what it does to ROH. Thanks. And then they're going to shut them down. So it's just like, yeah, but I can say I'm very happy that it seems like there's more talent and places to work. Like, let's just say I'm a 6 foot, 280 pound offensive tackle, and I just think I'm great. And for some reason, I don't make it to the NFL. You know, I'm looking at, and you're a wrestling fan, I'm looking at wrestling as an option, because there's about to be a really void of talent. And the world is going to be looking for new stars. And me personally, I wouldn't sign with the WWE right off. You know how they'll try to get you to sign? No, I would go to an indie. I would go to either Houston or whatever. And I would try to make my name. I would try to spend 3 to 5 years on the indies, because you'll be the biggest name on the indies. And that'll make that contract you sign with the WWE so much bigger.
Yeah, rather than getting that really low ball and not doing anything for a while, go work and get what dates you can and get paid what you can, and then go make your big paycheck.
Yeah, Gallows and Anderson talk about it all the time, how they got a really big check from the WWE. And they're not used like that. But they're still getting, their low end is still super high because they signed when they were hot. WWE decided not to do anything with it, but they signed when they were hot. So it makes sense. So I think our final topic of the day, our friends at the Super J-Cast are doing their end of the year awards. And we were going to talk about a little bit about how we voted. So, Ryan, this is at, and it's at the Super J-Cast on Twitter, and they're doing their end of the year awards. I forgot all the categories.
I actually have every category in front of me with how I voted.
Okay, hold on just a second. So you give me the category, I remember how I voted. So, all right, so you lead this segment. Go for
okay.
it.
Okay. So I'm going to kind of bounce around here. I'm not going to go in the order I have it, but I'm going to start with this one. Least favorite wrestler of the year.
Okay.
I went with Yoshihashi.
Least favorite wrestler of the year. You went with Yoshi. I think I just went with Isaka just because I don't like Isaka. That was who I went with. Iska. There you go. You went away again, Ryan. Ryan? I'm not even getting beeping this time.
You there?
There is the beeping. Okay. Now, what'd you say?
Yeah, I said I went with Yoshihashi just because I don't understand. I don't understand how that guy is getting a paycheck anymore. Like, I just can't get into him.
I can understand that. He's not very good.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually being pretty nice. He's just not good. Like, at all. All right. Next category, sir.
Next category. Let's see. Favorite wrestler of the year. We both went with Cody.
Yes. I don't like that. Okay. And this is not really a shot at Super J. I just don't like the fact that they did the thing where they had favorite wrestler and everybody was on there. But when it came to wrestler of the year, it didn't get the same love. I felt like Wrestler of the Year should have got this, you know, should have just, the thing should have basically just been open form. If you thought, the Roppongi 3K was the best tag team or whatever, you should just be able to, you know, all the things are listed there. You know what I mean?
No, I do. I get what you're saying. And the thing is, the reason I think they don't is because their thing with Wrestler of the Year, they're doing it based on match quality. That's their outlook. We could take into account match quality, character work, mic skills, all the above, rather than just in-ring work.
Yeah, because in-ring performance is only one part of being a wrestler.
Correct.
Yeah.
Let's see. So we'll go right into Wrestler of the Year. You picked your first, your second, and your third place. My first place was Jay White. My second was Zack Sabre, and my third was Ishii.
My first was Kenny Omega. My second was Kota Ibushi, and my third was Jay White. And that's because Cody wasn't on the list.
Right. He was not on the list. That's why he did not show up on either one of ours.
And he wouldn't have been first if Cody was on there, because it is only what they've done with in New Japan, so he probably would have been like a third place vote.
Yeah, he would have been, if he would have made my list, he would have been third.
But so, Kenny was my number one. Just, yeah, I just think the brand is being built on Kenny right now. So definitely wrestler of the year.
Okay. Up next, biggest disappointment. My first was the Takahashi injury. My second was the Intercontinental title booking. And my third was the Juice Robinson G1 U.S. title run. They split that.
Okay. Okay. I believe my first was the injury. The injury was number one. I don't remember what two and three was, but I believe injury was number one. I can definitely give you that.
Okay. Let's see. The next category, unsung wrestler of the year. Meaning to me, you take this how you want. I took this as a guy that had a good year that did not get near the credit they deserved. One, I went with Ishii. Two, I went with Hangman Page. And three, I went with El Desperado.
One, I went with a Hangman Page. Two, I went with Ishii. Three, I think that was another one I was disappointed in. Mike Elgin wasn't on the list.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's who I would have been because I just think he's such a great wrestler. Even though some people might think he's not a great person, he's such a great wrestler. Three, I went with a junior guy. I think it might have been Desperado.
Okay. Okay, so we'll roll right into junior of the year. First, I went with Marty Scurll. Second, Ishimori. And third, Kushida.
I went first with Will Ospreay. Second was Marty Scurll, and third was Ishimori.
Okay.
Because Ospreay's first half of the year was lit.
Cool, cool. All right, next category, most improved. First, I went with Hangman Page. Second, I went with El Desperado. And third, I went with Roppongi 3K.
First, I went with Hangman Page. Second, I honestly don't remember the list. It's like, and I was trying to look for an entry where I could see all the votes so I could give my answers, but I don't see it. But I know I went with Hangman Page 1 on that one.
Okay. Let's see. Up next, we'll go with Tag Team of the Year. I went first, the Golden Lovers. Second, Gorillas of Destiny. Third, Evil and Sonata.
I think I went first, Roppongi, K3K. Second, the Young Bucks. Third, G.O.D.
Okay. Let's see. You want to do Show of the Year or Match of the Year next?
Show of the Year.
Show of the Year. Okay. First place, G1 Final. Second place, Wrestling Dontaku Day 2. Third, Wrestle Kingdom.
First, Dominion. Second was G1 Final. Third was Wrestle Kingdom.
Okay. Now, the last one, Match of the Year. This is going to be, I imagine, going to be very different. Honestly, looking at this now, and when I did this, I was reading and doing some other things and just doing it based on memory. My third place was Ishii and Omega from the G1. My second place was Zack Sabre Jr. and Ibushi from the G1. And my match of the year from the G1 was Ishii and Goto.
All right. My third place was from the G1, Ibushi versus Tanahashi. Second place was Ishii versus, I think it was Ishii versus Omega from the G1. And my number one was Omega versus Okada from Dominion.
Okay. And that was the last one.
That was the last one. And it's fun. Like I said, you should definitely listen to Super J-Cast if you like listening to wrestling podcasts that aren't ours. They're on the Voices of Wrestling website. They usually drop their shows on Sundays, like Sunday evenings, Mondays sometimes, because one of their people lives in Asia. So it's always fun and fun for them to record. They do their end of the year. Follow them at SuperJCast on Twitter. You can go there and get the entry form to their Google Doc to vote and, you know, find out about their shows and everything like that. I definitely want to give them a shout out since that whole segment was based on them. Last but not least, I'm going to give you our information. I am at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. You're at Ryan the Great, right?
Yeah, Ryan_the_great.
He said what he said. You can go Around the Ring OK on Twitter and Around the Ring OK on Facebook, and you can email us at aroundtheringok@gmail.com. Our show drops every Sunday before noon on thechairshot.com. We're starting next week. We're going to start doing our end of the year stuff. We usually roll it out over 4 weeks. We're not going to get any more great shows probably. So we'll probably, let's do top five shows of the year. And the thing about us is we do not discriminate. It can be from any company, any show you've watched, just your favorite shows of the year. We're going to do our top five favorite shows. We're going to do like we always do at the end of the year. The last show of the year will be our top five tag teams because we like tag teams. So there you go. As we lead into the new year, I think it's going to be like 8 categories. But the thing with us, we don't take your input. I mean, you can let us know on the website if you're interested, but we're not going to do a voting page and stuff. I leave that to the larger shows. You're just going to get me and Ryan's top five of the year, our highlights, and, of course, we're going to do a top thing, five things we're looking forward to next year. So probably after next week, every show is going to have at least 2 top fives. So there you go. Sound good, Ryan?
Sounds good to me.
All right. Well, for Ryan, you got anything else?
I do not.
For Ryan the Great, Aaron, as I call him, the oldest young man I know, and your Floyd and Savior Floyd Johnson, we'd like you to wish you all as we head into these holidays, getting all the presents, stress out. Don't stress out. I will tell you, if you can't afford to buy the gift, or buy a gift, just tell the person. If they don't understand, they're not a good person anyway. So just know that it's like, don't go broke or go into debt trying to buy people gifts this year. It's the season of giving, but you only can give what you have. So that being said, just remember, it's all the work. Don't forget to kick out at 2. We'll see you next time around the ring.